Like that song said, thank God with all your being this morning that you are redeemed. Because I'm going to tell you something. The only thing that's going to get us through in this life, the only thing that's going to take us through to the other side of the Savior, we better not hope, we better not think we do. I want to tell you something this morning. It is a no-so salvation. If you got Jesus in your heart, you know the song tries to put that doubt in there, but you know what? Like I've told you all the time before, you could take him back and rub his nose in it where you met the Lord and let him know that, yes, I am redeemed. Praise God this morning. We are redeemed. There's no doubt about it if we know Jesus as our personal Savior. If you want, I'm going to be over in Numbers. The saying this morning, if we read God's Word, we're going to read one verse. We're going to read the 48th verse. And if we do that, I want you to read it along with me, if you would please. Turn to Numbers 16, and we're going to read the 48th verse. Stand if you would. We're going to read it together. I'm going to be preaching this morning on being a gap filler. I want you to know that. You're going to be a gap filler. Numbers 16:48. And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. Let's do it again. And the plague was stayed. While you're standing, let us pray. Father, we come again this morning, Lord, we come thanking you, Father, for the opportunity that we have to stand in this behind this sacred desk this morning, Lord. I pray, Father, that the word would go out, Lord, to the hearts here this morning, Lord. And the Father that you would uplift, Lord, that you would draw closer. And the Father, through you and by you, all things can be accomplished, Lord. Again, Father, I put your words in my lips this morning, Lord, and we would do just exactly what you would have to be done. In Jesus' name we pray and ask, and amen. And you may be seated. Webster Dictionary tells us that a gap is a breach. That a filler, you know what it is? It's something used to pad, to complete, to stop a hole. And you know, that's what I say. So that's why this morning, as I preached to you this morning, with God's help, I would like to filler as one who, listen to this, who is able to stand in that cavity that's between the dead world and a living God. Successors, what we may call them. I've heard that said before. But you know what? One that prays and petitions God for those, for one reason or another, you know what? He pray and cannot pray for themselves, whatever reason it is, that person is able to stand and to pray for somebody. That's what I call a gap filler. You know what? They may know the Lord, but are not going through a rough stretch right now. Romans 8:26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray with groanings which cannot be uttered, folks. Listen, have you ever been to that place in your life where you don't know what to pray or how to pray for something going on in your life or going on for somebody else? Holy Spirit, you know what? Us that can pray, us that can still get a hold of Him, listen, we can pray and God can take care of the situation the way that He wants to take care of it. Amen? That's what he wanted. Or that they may be lost. And they can't get a hold of God. There are those people that are in our families, in our neighborhoods, and you know what? I'm sorry to say that, but some people in churches around here that are lost and undone, dying and headed for a devil's hell. And you know what? We need to stand in intercession for those people also. Amen? We need to do that. Praise God. I'll tell you what, that's what a gap filler is. That's what they can do. You know, petitions on their behalf. Are you a gap filler this morning? I want to ask you that on an individual basis this morning. Are you that kind of an intercession person this morning who can stand in the gap between a person and what's going on in their lives and what between them and God and pray and be an intercessor for them this morning to do that? Amen? I wonder if Romans grand. Let's give a little background of what chapter 16 has to say. Again, trouble's brewing. Do we understand? Amongst the children of Israel, ever since God had brought them out of Egypt, in their eyes anyway, there had been one crisis after another. If you read back to this 16, I want to tell you what this morning. When you get the chance, go back into Numbers and read the 15th, 16th, and 17th chapter of Numbers and just read it and let it soak in a little bit, because I believe, you know what, if you do, God, by the name of Korah, a Levite, he was first cousins of Moses and Aaron, by the way. There was two other guys. They're called Dathan and Abram. They were chief men of these tribes of Reuben. And these men become jealous of Moses is what happened. They become jealous of him. I'm just going to give you a little background check here on this. They also, along with 250 other people from the congregation, gathered themselves together. You can find this in Moses, number 16, 2 and 3. And what it says there, and I'll just read it to you. Children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown, and they gathered themselves together against Moses, against Aaron, and said unto them, ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them, wherefore then lift ye up yourself above the congregation. Falsely accusing Aaron, and you know, for honoring themselves, is what they were trying to say. They were saying Moses and Aaron were honoring themselves, and that what they were doing was, they were just wanting to take the children of Israel, lead them out into the wilderness, as they had done, and then they wanted to destroy them all out there, what they were trying to say. If you get back and look at doing the job. It was a good thing because Moses was the right man for the job, amen? Because you know what? If it had probably been me, if it had probably been you, I would have said after about the first time, God, you take them, you do with them what you want to. Because you know what? I'm not getting nowhere with them. Moses did not do that, did he not? He didn't do that. Instead, Moses didn't get mad. He didn't get mad. And he didn't tell them, I'm not leading you anymore. He did what all of us should have done. When false accusations come against us, I'll tell you what he done. He fell. Number 16:4. Why did he not go and beg forgiveness from these false accusers? He didn't have to do that. He took it before the Lord God Almighty, what he did. And I want you to know, whenever false accusations come against us, no matter what it is, and I'll tell you what, you hear them on every hand because people are judgmental. People want to say things about you, about churches, about the church, and they want to say all manner of things. And I'll tell you what, when they come against you like that, I'll tell you where we need to take it. We need these things. Amen? The one and only that knows the truth knows where the accuser stood, and he knows where you and I stand today. Amen? Jeremiah 17, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. I want you to know something this morning. If you are being accused, if somebody's coming against you, I want you to remember this. Mark it down. God knows your heart this morning.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
He does not need for me to know your heart. He doesn't need for anybody else in this church to know your heart. God knows your heart. He knows where you stand. And I want you to know something this morning. If you're standing with God, you are going to be okay. One way or the other, God's going to take care of you, I believe. Qualified. Moses had prayed, and a challenge was set to do the job. They're never going to go the next morning. Moses prayed. God was watching, and to say God was upset at what was going on would be a complete understatement. I want you to understand that whenever God heard and whenever Moses prayed and he went before God was so upset, he was fixing to wipe out the whole children of Israel. God was ready to wipe them out. And I think Jeff had mentioned it earlier today, something about he was going to raise up a new country, a new people out of Moses is what he was going to. God was that upset. This is why I say with the right man on the job, Moses prayed again in number 16:21-22. And I will get to the point of my lesson here, my sermon here a little bit. Separate yourself from among this congregation that I may consume them in a moment. God told Moses, the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin, wilt thou be wroth with the whole congregation? I want you to know something. God was mad. He was upset. Moses knew that the congregation would be saved. He said, don't destroy them all because of one man. But you know what? And he focused at that point on God focused on those three. He knows how to take care of those people, right? Now, he should have took care of the grumbling and complaining, right? What he done was, those ones that were complaining and grumbling at first, those three I mentioned, Moses had prayed, and he said, listen. He said, he stood behold the whole congregation. He told them, listen. He said, if I'm right, he said, you know what? Let it be said that I'm right. Let this be done. He said, at the moment that I'm done, let the earth open up, and let all of them be swallowed that had taken. You know what happened when he was done? The earth opened up. Those three guys and all their families, their houses and everything else were swallowed into the earth. Some may say it was an earthquake cracked the earth, but you know what happened? The earth shut back up again. That's exactly what happened. You read it there. You think that would took care of all the complaining? The very next day, all the children of Israel came against Moses and them again and said, why did you kill these people for? And more or less, they, why'd you do that? They were good people. God's wrath was stirred again. If you read it there, he was in his presence come down upon the tabernacle. And you know what happened then? Oh, by the way, there's other 250. It says that a fire come out and consumed the whole 250 of the other ones, by the way. This is what happened if you read that. And you thought that would have taken care of them, but it didn't. The next day, like I said, they come against Moses. They come against God again. This time, God was bound and determined to destroy all the children of Israel. And what he'd done, he set a plague against them. And you know what Moses did again in Aaron? He said that they grabbed a censer, one of the things, out of the temple and ran out and stood between the temple and the people. And it said that the plague was stayed, is what it said, what I told you there in verse 48. And Aaron stood there and he held up that censer and the plague was stayed. Because you know why? They were willing to be a gap filler for those people. Those people had no idea what they were doing. They didn't realize that they were going up against God. They weren't going against Moses. They were going against God. They didn't know it. Folks, there's a lost and a dying world out there that sometimes has no idea that they're going against God. They're not going against the church. They're not going against us. They're going against the true and the living God. And I'll tell you what, we need to be the gap fillers. We, the children, the true children of God, the church of the living God, we are those gap fillers. Do we understand it? You know, God knows how to take care of those that provoke Him. Now that shit took care of, now the grumbling complains. It went on, and God took care of that. And I want you to know, Moses began to enter, and they became that. Can we stand in that void between a loving, caring God and a world that seemingly does not want anything to do with Him? Yes, we can. We can. We should want to. We should want to do that. A world that when you try to share good news of Jesus Christ, sometimes will mock us, will they not? They'll belittle us or tell us we're old-fashioned. And you know what? We're out of date and we're intolerant. When you try to stand up and say that sin is sin in this world today, I want you to know you will become intolerant of what you will become. That's what you will be. We hear it all the time. God is looking for people to stand in the gap. Raise your hand if you're a Christian this morning, because I want to tell you something. You're the one that He wants to stand in the gap this morning. He's the one that He wants you to stand in that gap. He wants you to be willing, but are you qualified to do it? That's the question. He wants every one of us to do it, but are we qualified to stand in that gap? Are we? Listen, a gap filler, the qualifications of being a gap filler, number one, you must be humble. You have to be humble. Without pride, willing to listen and do what God has for you to do. Are you willing to do that? You know what? Are you willing to fall on your face? Are you willing to pray for salvation for those when in your mind you're thinking, boy, let them be destroyed. I could care less. Don't you think that sometimes in your mind? Have you ever thought that whenever you see this out here in this world that goes on out here and you see all the turmoil and the trouble? God, come back now and take us and just get rid of the rest of this mess. I'm going to tell you what, that's not a gap filler's attitude, right? That's not. There's too many out there that are lost and undone in our families. You know what? We got to be willing to be humble. What was the problem? That was the problem with Jonah. Remember what Jonah did whenever he was told to go to Nineveh? You know what he said? God, he said, why don't you just destroy that city? It's wicked. Why don't you just do that? That wasn't God's plan. That's not His plan for the world today. I want you to know something. God will send His Son back to get His church the moment that there's nobody else to be saved. I believe that. I believe that. He will send His Son back the moment. And you know what? When God had called him to be a gap filler, and you know this story, God had to persuade him a little bit. And sometimes do we not have to be persuaded also whenever it comes time for us to be that person, that intercessor for somebody that's lost and undone? Also, the scripture you can read today, Moses and Aaron were great gap fillers because they were willing to fall on their faces for the sake of those people, those who falsely accused them. You know what? Moses and Aaron didn't let these people coming against them try to persuade them not to pray for them and try to pray that God wouldn't take out His wrath upon them. And that's the way that we should be also. I'll tell you what, whenever it comes to being a great gap filler, you know what? Aaron and Moses are great examples, right? Amen. They are. Are you willing to do the same? Not only for loved ones, but for those who persecute you as well. The Bible talks about that, does it not? Jesus said, pray for them that despitefully use you. Amen. That's what He's talking about. If you want to be a great gap filler, if you want to be that one to stay in that void between God and this lost and dying world, we've got to be willing to pray for those that despitefully use us. You must have a true love for people. I'm going to tell you that also. Not what some people call love, but agape love is what we need. That's because agape love is not based on goodness. It's not based on goodness, but it's solely based on the strength of God in us. I'll tell you what, you cannot have the love that God intended for you to have if you do not accept Him into your heart. When you take Him in, I want you to know that love that God has, the only true love, that agape love, will come into your life. It'll flow through your veins. And I'll tell you what, you can have a true love for one another. But if you do not have that kind of love is not will not be in you. It cannot be in you. Because why? Because the moment somebody does something bad against us and something wrong to us, we don't want to love them, do we? Oh, no. No, no, that's far from, a human being, that's far from their mind. That's not our nature. It only comes whenever God's love does not get frustrated with people. But we can, right? We can get frustrated. We face these types of situations all the time. We do for someone, seems like they never get enough. We do and keep doing, and they treat us bad and they talk about us. Whenever we keep on, just want, all we want to do is just keep on loving them and showing them kindness, and that just keeps on going. You know what? God's love is not based, you know, on our strengths, or God's love is, our love should not be based on what our strength is. It's based on what God has given us. Amen? This is hard preaching. We can love someone without them loving us. Amen? Oh, boy. Oh, yeah, that's hard preaching. I realize that. But we should be able to love those that do not love us back. But only with God's help can the agape love do that. Listen, I'm talking about a gap filler here. I'm talking about someone willing, truly willing to stand up and serve God, was willing to step up to the plate. God tells us, I love you even though you are incapable of loving me. I want you to know something. Before each and every one of you here that's been saved and born again, before you became Christ, before Christ came into your heart, you were not wanting to love Him, right? I wasn't. That was the farthest thing from my mind. Until the Holy Spirit came and convicted me, and I started realizing that I needed Him in my life, I didn't think anything about God. I didn't think that agape love is with it. We need someone to love us back and to love them back. Amen? You must have boldness if you want to be a gap filler also. You've got to have boldness in your life. Boldness is the opposite of fear. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's what He's given us. A gap filler must have boldness to step out in this sinful world. We've got to have that boldness and preach Christ and Him crucified, and that they may come to know Him. I'll tell you, sometimes we get so passive about what we really believe about Christ, that Christ can truly save and turn people's lives around. Now, I tell you this. Whenever He changed me, He totally changed me. And I've got that to stand. I can stand up here and say, praise God for that this morning. Because what He done in my life, He totally changed my life. He brought me to a place where I knew that I was saved. And I knew that I was changed. And I want you to know something this morning. If you're facing people who you talk to all the time and they think that there's nothing that can be done to change their lives, I want you to know something this morning. It's only through Christ Jesus that their lives can be changed. And we should have the boldness to tell them, people, listen to me. Christ can change your life. I know that He can. I don't think He can. I don't just kind of wish He can. I know He can change our lives. I know it. Boldness is the opposite of fear. Listen, a gap filler must have that. You're not worrying about yourself anymore, but only that you may fulfill the will of God in your life. You don't worry about yourself anymore. You don't worry about what's going down in your life. Whenever Christ comes in, you become that gap filler that you should be. I want you to know this morning, that you'll forget worrying about yourself anymore. You don't worry about what I need or what's going on. You know, the selfishness goes out of our life. Amen? It does, because we're wanting to do what Christ wants us to do. Amen? We need that boldness to do that. Listen, 2 Corinthians 5:20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though Christ did beseech you by us. We pray in you, Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. This is every Christian's ministry, is a ministry of reconciliation to a lost and a dying world. Whenever He told us, whenever He sent us out on a great commission, go out into all the world and preach the gospel. You know what? It was a gospel of reconciliation. I want you to know something. Now, I know most of you in here know it also, that have come to know Christ as your Savior. Whenever I got saved, He reconciled me with a God. Jesus Christ reconciled me with God because of there was a gap there. And that leads me to this point. The greatest gap filler that ever was was the one that died on that cross, that hung there before heaven and earth, shed his blood, that you and I could have the opportunity to be able to go to heaven one of these days. Amen. You want to talk about a gap filler right there. There's a great one right there. There's the best right there. There's the ultimate gap filler right there. Whatever he did, and it's often been said, you know, God built a ladder. Jesus built a bridge between here and between earth and heaven. With that cross, he built that bridge. He became the ultimate gap filler for you and I. And you know what? He intended us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. I'll tell you what, that love that was bestowed in us, brothers and sisters, we should be willing, more than willing, to serve it to someone else, to stand in the gap for those that are in our families, for those that are not in our families, to stand in that gap and pray for them and keep praying. It was mentioned here earlier about our prayers and how that God answers the prayer. Maybe sometimes it doesn't answer them right now. You know what I believe also? I believe there are prayers answered for those people sometimes that are dead and long gone.
Amen. Amen.
I believe it. I believe that you pray for those that are lost in your family, and you may be dead and long gone, and I believe those prayers are still at the altar. I believe God still knows those prayers. I believe it. I believe those prayers are going, and you know what? If you're under conviction, you say, well, my mom and my dad prayed for me, but they've been long gone. Let me tell you something. That doesn't make any difference in God's eyes. Those prayers are still there. And I want you to know, be that intercessor. Be that gap filler that God wants us to be. And again, I'm going to ask you, are you man or woman enough to do that? All of us should be able to. We should be willing to stand up and have the boldness that we need to do what God wants us to do. You know what, O Aaron? Like he said, and he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. There's a lost and a dying world out here, folks. We serve a living God. And we can be that gap filler. Christ has already paid the ultimate price. All we have to do is stay there and pray, fast, do what God wants us to do. And I'll tell you what, we can be that gap filler. Amen? We can do that. They come and get a song.